first laws regulating rental housing in Wisconsin have changed a lot under the Walker administration, with landlords getting more power over evictions, screenings, and what they can charge tenants for. Supporters of the changes say they've helped standardize the rental market across the state, while others say they open the door for tenants to be taken advantage of. Lisa Speckhard-Pask is the Metro reporter for the Capital Times. Her recent piece called Locked Out looks at how changes in tenant-landlord laws are impacting students, immigrants, and victims of domestic abuse. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
How has the balance of power between tenants and landlords changed over the last 7 years or so?
Well, it's changed a lot. There have been over 100 changes to tenant-landlord law, and that's obviously had a lot of different effects. But some of the main ones are it's made it easier and faster to evict tenants, and to give landlords greater power when screening tenants are some of the major ones in those 100.
Yeah, 100 different changes. What are some of the other big changes that you've seen? You kind of outlined them in one of the pieces you wrote about this.
Yeah, there's been a couple other big ones, like one I just mentioned that I didn't really get into in the story is screening tenants, where you can now look at Social Security info or previous tenant history. There's a lot of different things that, especially in Madison, you could not look at before that now you can. One more recent one that advocates for tenant rights aren't really sure how it's had an effect, but you can now terminate a lease for suspected criminal activity. That went into effect in 2016, which they're not sure what effect that's had, but that's another big thing that's changed.
And a big overarching thing is it seems like a lot of these override local ordinances on these issues, right?
Yes. Pullback of local control, which, like I said, has had a bigger effect in places like Madison, which traditionally have had pretty strong tenant protections.
And you looked in a piece about at how these changes affect three different groups in particular, and I want to take those each in turn. One of those is people who are victims of domestic abuse. Why are they feeling the impact more than others might?
Well, they, in general, feel more impact for evictions. They're more likely to be evicted and then to have a harder time finding housing afterward because of some of their life circumstances. Like, their abuser might not allow them to have control finances, or they may be evicted because of property damage or police calls. But this specific bill affects them because it limits the amount of time that a court can basically pause an eviction proceeding while someone is applying for emergency assistance, which victims or advocates for domestic abuse victims say they need that time to get the money so that they are not forced to go back to an abuser, essentially.
And you profile one person who had dealt with some eviction issues, Janie Collins. Can you tell us a little bit about her story?
Yeah, so she, unfortunately, had been a victim of domestic violence, then was without housing, and she went to the local day shelter, but those have maximums of 45 days, and they're always pretty overcrowded. And then after that, she had to decide between going back on the streets or going back to her abuser, and ended up going back to her abuser because it was impossible for her to find housing because of all the things that landlords can look up on your past history.
And another group that you talk about is students, especially in college towns, very competitive renting markets. What kind of situations do they face?
Yeah, students, from what I've heard and the data shows, they're not as vulnerable to eviction, but they are more vulnerable to things like maybe having a security deposit unfairly charged to them. They mostly just don't know their rights a lot of times. So the Tenant Resource Center here in town gets a lot of questions about you know, is my landlord allowed to do this? What am I responsible for? And may sign contracts that they're not aware of what they're signing.
And in your piece, you write that in a lot of cases, the tenant and even the landlord may not know what
yes.
either side's rights are because there have been so many changes.
Yes. Brenda Conkle, who's the executive director of the Tenant Resource Center, I mean, with this massive changes, I mean, even they have a hard time keeping up with what is the current law, because some of these laws have then corrected previous laws. So it's all very confusing. And then especially confusing for tenants who may then just assume, I don't have any rights.
So students in particular, they may only be renters for a brief span of their school existence. So they may be most likely to not know their rights as renters. Is that
yes.
right?
Yes. And especially because if they're a freshman looking to rent for the next year, they've only been on campus for, you know, a few weeks when the pressure starts coming to rent for their sophomore year.
We're talking to Lisa Speckard-Pask, Metro reporter for the Capital Times, about changes over the last handful of years, lots of changes in landlord-tenant laws. You also look at another group that's seen as vulnerable, undocumented immigrants. What kind of situations are they facing?
Well, the biggest concern there is that undocumented immigrants, both because of a lack of knowledge and because of a fear of reporting, won't complain about building code violations or abuse by landlords. So I've talked to people who've said that in Madison, they believe that landlords are using 5-day eviction notices, not even necessarily to evict, although that could be happening, but also to just kind of keep tenants quiet about problems.
And looking at household conditions, you write that some of the changes involve how local governments can inspect rental properties. What's changed there?
Yes. So this has been kind of a confusing change because the latest law change also limited how you can do building inspections. But essentially, this current law makes it so that it would be a complaint-only system. So previously, municipalities could do kind of, you know, neighborhood-wide searches if they wanted to. But this would be a building inspector can only go to a property if there's a complaint filed from that.
And in some of these vulnerable groups, you point out that they're afraid to complain for fear of retaliation in some cases.
Yes. And that's why it's specifically a concern with the undocumented population, but really all populations where if they have any sort of background of an eviction or a criminal history where they know it'll be very hard for them to get another apartment. And with Madison's very tight rental market, they know that, okay, if I get kicked out of this one, I don't know where I'm going to go next.
I understand you reached out at least to some of the sponsors of the legislative changes and an apartment group. Mm-hmm. They didn't respond, it sounds like. But what's been said about the reasoning behind a lot of these changes?
Yeah, so it kind of varies. There's a lot of things going on, obviously. So each specific tenant kind of has a counter argument. But in general, what has been said is that they level the playing field for landlords, kind of standardize rules across the state, which, you know, when you take away municipal powers, that does standardize rule across the state. And then there's also kind of a capitalism argument that if you are making it easier for landlords to do business, then landlords will be more incentivized to provide more housing, which would provide more affordable housing for tenants.
And on the tenant side, you mentioned the Tenant Resource Center as a resource for renters. Is that in the Madison area? And if so, are there other resources for people around the state?
It is in the Madison area, but they do help people throughout the state through their phone system. And they return a lot of emails on that front. And I know they're always pretty busy, but they are very eager to help.
And we'll leave it there for now. Lisa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Lisa Speckard-Pask is the Metro reporter for the Capital Times. She talked with us about her recent piece called Locked Out, looking at how changes in laws governing rental properties are impacting immigrants, students, and victims of domestic abuse.